thank you for taking a ride on the Freedom Train Podcast series. I'm your host, Ocean Ward, and always ride with me is my good homie, Mr. Patrick Irving. Hey, remember the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's P-A-C-T-S-I-N-C. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with a trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And as you already know how you're supposed to know, and if you don't know, if this is your first time listening in, make sure you go and visit www.pactsinc.org, where they will provide you with a plethora of information and resources to help your blackness become more black. Power to the people. Ain't that right, Pat?
Word.
Power to the people. Hallelujah. What's going on, Pat? How you living, man? How you living?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Not much, no, man. It's Sunday. I'm trying to chill for the day and relax and really trying to just not do nothing. So I've been fairly unsuccessful, but I'm trying to end the night strong by not doing
anything
for the rest of the night.
Go watch some Netflix.
Man, I got some movies that I might sit up and watch. Maybe turn a video game on while I watch them. I don't know. I'm really trying to just not to do nothing. Because, you know, not doing nothing is an important part of work.
Yeah, so sometimes you got to just not do nothing.
Yeah,
but,
it's a skill to not do nothing. A lot of people don't realize that it takes skill to not do nothing. And de-stress. A lot of people cannot do nothing, but they be stressed out because they ain't doing what they should do.
Right. But sometimes not doing nothing is healthy. Yeah, it relieves stuff. Sometimes you got to woo out. I'm listening to all these motivational speakers telling you to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning when telling you that they're going to bed at 7 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Look, wake up at 3.
Sleep is important, man, and we need balance. Like, you know, you got to work hard, but you also got to play hard. You got to get it in, but you also got to chill out, you know?
You do. You gotta, if you don't, you're tripping.
Right. You got to sleep just as much as you awake. You know, I ain't even citing, we ain't got to go into citing all of the studies about the importance of downtime and sleep and blah, blah, blah. And for you youngsters, you know, that are in those young, newly vibrant relationships, you know, for y'all, that means fucking. So take time out, spend all day just getting it in.
Hey, you some good, sweaty, hot, good sex. Looking each other in the eye, sex. Fight somebody,
okay,
sex.
To make, you know, make both of y'all should be sore when it's over.
Yep. That sex you got to stretch before you have it, because you already know what it is.
You finish, you just sleep for the next 3 days.
There you go.
What we got?
Good sex. Hey, man, I learned something new today, man.
What's that?
I learned what lookism is.
Oh, yeah. Tell the people what that is, because you told me earlier. I ain't know what it was neither.
So it's when you are being discriminated against based off of your looks. Here you go. It says, lookism is discriminatory treatment toward people considered physically unattractive, mainly in the workplace, but also in dating and other social settings. While not classified in the same way as racial, cultural, sexual discrimination, lookism is widespread and affects how people are perceived, as well as affecting the opportunities in terms of romantic relationships and job opportunities. So, if you ain't getting none, you tell somebody that they have lookism.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Are we expecting that to work?
It's not going to work for me. I tell you that, if I try it, it's definitely not going to work for me. Nobody's going to take me serious, but maybe if I was like a white girl, it might work. But
that sounds like a shot.
I mean, it's not a shot, it's a reality. I mean, lookism.
Really? But hey, I mean, you know.
Really, really.
Hey man, hey. So all you ladies who not dating me right now, you got to look at them.
Word.
Mm-hmm.
I co-sign.
Hey, hey. You got to be faster with your cosign, dog. You left a little bit too much.
I was thinking, because I'm losing. My mind was somewhere else completely. Because I was like, yo, I'm losing weight again. And, you know, I've been walking all day. And I went to Walmart, and I managed to leave only getting, you know, the deodorant that I went in there for. And a payday. It was king size, though. But it was a payday. It got nuts in it. And one of the little containers, a watermelon. And so, like, that's, like, all I done ate all day outside of, like, a handful of pretzels. So I was like, yo, I'm doing good. But my wife is cooking right now. So the house smelled like food. So it just, like, really reminded me, like, that I ain't ate all day and I'm kind of hungry. So that's why my cosign was slow, because my mind is distracted with the smell of food. But if you do it again, I'll co-sign faster this time.
I forgot what I said, but all right. Next time I think of something, just be ready. Hey, all right, man. But today, we got three topics that we're getting in on. So
three
for one three? Topic. There you go. Hey, and if you don't like it, that's because you probably don't wash your hands.
It wouldn't be 3 for 3. That would it be 3 for 20? 3 for 15, because we spent about the first 10, 15 minutes bull driving, right? So it's about 3 for 3.
It's not necessarily bull driving. It's laying a foundation of what they can expect personality-wise, because we might have new listeners, right? And if you're a new listener, you need to get to know us as your new podcast host, because this is your new home for podcasts, Freedom Train Network, at www.freedomtrainradio.com.
I co-sign that, too.
You know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. Hey, and before we get into the topics, real quick, remember, we're on Patreon.
Right.
Lessons from the Screen is on Patreon, and The Fix is on Patreon, so we need your support. Patreon.com, LFTS, Lessons from the Screen, or Patreon.com, The Fix. We definitely could use your support on helping to grow our platforms and being able to provide better content, more content, and you know, just do how we do and be Black America's leader in news and media and stuff like that. But as far as our topics, first one is there are 4 12-year-old Black girls who were allegedly strip searched at a middle school in New York. So the story I read earlier in the week was saying that the girls got strip searched. And I was reading something earlier that was saying the girls at the school at the 9, so we're going to jump into that. The next story is your boy, Patrick Homeboy, Nathan Settles is his name. He's the nurse with the Forest Whitaker eyes. Oh, Nathan Sutherland. He's the nurse with the Forest Whitaker eyes who impregnated.
Why are you him with two positive Black men, me and Forest Whitaker?
Well, he got the Forest Whitaker eyes in the picture. So.
Neither nor Forest Whitaker co-signs that, and we take strong issue with that.
You offended?
We not offended. We just take strong issues.
Oh, I'm finna be offended that y'all was offended.
That's why we not offended.
Well, we're gonna talk about Nathan Sutherland. We're gonna basically let his ass have it, basically, and get into this, talk about how sick he is, and talk about him and his set it off braids he got and all that stuff there. So. And the last topic is, who is Kamala Harris? Kamala Harris. Who is she? She's in the bid for the Democratic Party for the 2020 presidential race. And there's some stories out there that's good about it, and there's some stories out there that's not so good about it. So we're going to learn more about who Kamala Harris is. And we're doing this because we want to get out in front of these candidates who especially come from the Black community who are putting their hat in the presidential race, so we can start to study these people early. It's 2019. Let's start studying them now so we know what's happening by the time it's time to vote. So whether we know if we want to get behind Kamala or we want to know if we want to stiff arm her, we're going to see. So, But start with these 12-year-old girls. So four 12-year-old black girls were allegedly strip searched at a middle school in New York. So I'm going to read you some of this article. It is saying four 12-year-old black girls were allegedly strip searched at a middle school in New York last week, angering community members who are asking district officials why no action has been taken. The students were questioned and then strip searched by the nurse and an assistant principal at East Middle School in Birmingham on January 15th, on Martin Luther King Day now, on Martin Luther King birthday rather, the real Martin Luther King Day. The search came because officials suspected they were in possession of drugs, according to Progressive Leaders of Tomorrow, a local advocacy group. The searches were done without the consent of the girls' parents, who, according to Progressive Leaders, were made aware of the alleged incident by the girls when they got home. The children had their clothing removed and felt ashamed, humiliated, and traumatized by the experience, the group wrote on Facebook. While they were being searched, the nurse made disparaging comments about the eczema on one girl and the size of another's breast. They, as well as their parents, believed the heinous and excessive act. Huh?
Yo.
You what's up?
Went out for like 2 seconds, bro. Did you stop reading or?
Nah, I would read. I don't know. It's the government, son.
So you gotta go back 2 seconds.
Oh, all right. Well, let me read. I say the children had their clothing removed and felt shamed, humiliated, and traumatized by the experience, the group wrote on Facebook. While they were being searched, the nurse made disparaging comments about the eczema of one girl and the size of another's breast. They, as well as their parents, believed the heinous and excessive actions implemented by the school were racially motivated, the group added. In a statement to BuzzFeed News, the Birmingham City School District denied the allegations, saying school officials followed district policy and did not strip search the students. So this is the thing that's going on now, because you have four black girls who are saying they were strip searched because the school officials accused them of having being in possession and being on drugs, and now the school officials are saying that they didn't do it. But the stories that I'm seeing now that the school officials are saying that they didn't do it is after the story.
Yo,
huh? I went out again.
Yeah, what you went out when you said the policy, and then you went out just now. So what's the policy again?
No. Oh well. I forgot exactly how I said that, but the school policy, from what I read the other day, the school policy is that if they believe that a child is in some kind of danger to themselves or others, or they believe that the child is on a substance, which is a drug, then school officials, school administrators can search the children. But I'm sure that still is with parental consent, notifying the parents that this is going to happen.
You went so out again that, right before you said school officials.
God damn. This is aggravating. I don't know what's going on while I'm going out. I shouldn't be going out. Did you hear what I said about the policy?
You said no.
Sucker duck ass. All right, let me try this one more time in the next set. Am I going out now? I'm good. You can hear me?
You're good.
Okay. The policy is that if a child is believed to be in danger of themselves or in danger of harming somebody else or maybe on the substance, then the school administrators can search the child, can do strip searches of the children. From what I read in the article early in the week, that's what they were saying. The policies that come out of the school district, but I'm sure that is with parental consent. So with this, they are saying that basically the girls are saying that the four of them were accused of being on the drug, and the school administrators, without any parental consent or anything else, just decided to go and strip search the girls. And they were saying the article I read earlier in the week was saying one of the girls refused to strip search and was given like in-school suspension. Something, but the other girls were searched inside of their shirts and their bras and inside of their panties and stuff. So I would be pissed.
So they searched the girls because they were worried that they might be a concern to themselves or other students?
Well, they were saying that the girls possessed drugs and were on drugs.
And how did
they didn't. They just it was a hunch, it was a suspicion. But when they did the strip search, they didn't find any drugs.
So they could just strip search any girls that they suspect might be on drugs or have drugs. Any students?
Yes, but to be fair to the article didn't give out all the specifics of the policy. So I'm adding in just from my smart adult sense, that I'm sure within that policy, parental consent is a part of that because they are minors. I'm hoping it is. And I'm hoping parents have read and are aware of what whatever said policy is. I'm hoping.
Well, I don't even understand why they have that policy, though, where you can strip search children. And what parent is going to give the okay?
You'd be surprised, man. You'd be surprised. But it's a weird story, because if it is true that they did this, then, especially with them finding no drugs, is this sexual assault? Because
yeah.
That's what I would think it is.
I would take the school to court for that. My daughter, you strip search my daughter at school?
Without my consent?
Without my consent? Like, my daughter had to, and I would be mad at my daughter for getting naked.
Yeah, I was proud of from the article that I read, I was proud of the girl who refused to take her clothes off and took the suspension instead.
Yeah. Because
we're going out of town.
You come
I'm going to take days off of work, and we're going to go out of town.
Right. Not we're going to go up to the school first.
Well, yeah, we're fighting. Or the teachers, the administrators getting fought. We're fighting now. But.
Oh, yeah, on site. If I see you in the parking lot.
I'm going to wait. If I can't catch you at the school, I'm going to wait for you at your house. I'm going to find you.
You're going to catch something trying to get my baby. Look, if it's any of my kids, daughter or son, and you are a school administrator telling them that they got to get naked in front of you, I don't care what the reason is. Like, we got to
fight. Nah, you got, I mean, if you believe that my child has drugs, call me.
Right.
That's what you need to be doing. Call me, and when I get there, we're going to find out if they got drugs or not. Because if they got to take their clothes off, I'm going to be there, and I'm being at you. Hey, man, look, whatever you got on you, get it off. If you got something on you, get it out. Let me see it. If not, I'm chopping your neck. No, just because you're making me miss this. And I mean, you know, it's different. You got to be a real parent. But you know, this story also makes me think about all the videos that I see of, like, white female teachers abusing black children in the class, especially young black boys. Like the video that was going around last year or the year before last with the white lady putting her feet, just standing on the black boy's desk. And she literally put her feet on him and was basically, like, kicking him. Saw one where this white lady was hitting this black boy in the head. She was, like, really banging him in the head, doing this with this black girl. And it's just, our kids are under attack, man. And we got to realize what's going on. We got to do a better job of protecting our children. Like, this shit is unacceptable.
Yeah, that is wholly and totally unacceptable. Like, everybody involved in that situation needs to be terminated. And I'm with you. I don't like calling for people's jobs. But you can't convince me on any level that you as an adult think that it's okay to have a child get naked in front of you, especially without the consent of their parent or guardian. Like, you just can't convince me of that. And if a parent or guardian okays their child getting naked in front of an adult while they're not there, then the kids need to be taken from them. You know, like, that situation needs to be looked at. I just can't, and I'm not, obviously I'm maybe going a little bit to an extreme by saying the kids need to be taken, but I can't see any circumstance where I would okay another adult strip searching my child while I'm not there. I just can't see it. I just can't. I'm trying to picture every single scenario that I could think of, and nothing is coming to light where I'm going to be like, yeah, go ahead and strip search my kid.
Now the school has said that it wasn't a strip search. They're saying, let me read this verbatim. I said, when conducting medical evaluation, it may require the removal of bulky outside clothing to expose an arm so that vitals like blood pressure and pulse can be assisted. This is not the same as a strip search. So that's what they're saying. They're saying the school district did not, school officials did not conduct a strip search. So they had a district board meeting, and they've like 200 people packed out the meeting and everything. And you know how people, it was a venting session. But like none of the teachers, nobody's in trouble. Like nobody's in trouble for this. Nobody's in question or investigation and things that we know of so far. So, that's wild, man. It's wild. It also makes it go back.
Where any part of my child's body was exposed beyond their legs and their arms, then we got issues. Now, if all you ask my kid to do is take off a jacket so you can take their vitals, you know, that's I'm okay with that. But if if you saw any part of my kid's privates, if you got too far up their thighs, you know what I'm saying? If you saw any part of their midsection, we got issues.
Now, this article that I'm reading now is saying the district's policy handbook states that students may be searched only when the school district officials has reasonable suspicion to believe the student has engaged in or is engaging in prescribed activity. The handbook goes on to say that strip searches, which it defines as a search that requires the student to remove all of their clothing, are intrusive in nature and almost never justified. The school officials have incredible evidence that such a search would prevent danger or yield evidence. Such a search may be conducted under exigent circumstances, the handbook states. Police and parents will be contacted immediately. So they're saying that's what the handbook says. So if everything the girls are saying is true, which right now I'm kind of believing the girls, then the school conducted an illegal strip search, especially if they went inside the girls' bras and inside their panties and inside their clothing and looking for drugs and things. That's against what the handbook says. They asses need to be fired because they violated school policy.
But they ain't going to be. But they should be.
Because, like, you know me.
Take control of our schools, man. And if you are at a public school, take control of the school board.
I mean, look, like, if black people gave a damn, we would have no bad schools. We would have none of these issues in our schools because you're going to have to send, especially having to send your child to a white school because the black school in your neighborhood ain't good. But y'all don't nobody spend no time to help make the school good. Like, that can happen, but I mean, like Malcolm X, like he told us, like, you'd be a fool to allow your enemy to educate your kids, but that circumstantial, for most of us, that's what it is. But we can change our circumstances. We just choose to go along with the regular. But, you know, I mean, I hate to hear this for these girls, because it's like, as a, you know, I'm not a parent. I was going to say as a parent, but I'm not a parent. But I'm just thinking, like, if that was my sister or something like that. But even if that was my daughter, I'm ready to fight.
You know, when you say that, because Malcolm X did say it, and there have been a lot of prominent people say that. What's interesting is I've even heard white people say that. There's a documentary called School in the World. It talks about how the Western education system being transported all over the globe is destroying cultures and native traditions. And one of the things that one of the white guys says is the exact same thing. He says, I would be extremely offended, that, and I'm paraphrasing, but basically what he said was, he would be extremely offended if somebody from another culture came into his neighborhood and told him that they were going to teach his kid and they were going to educate his kid on the way of the world. And it was just like, there have been so many people saying that, but it's just not clicking for us for some reason. We're okay with other culture groups that don't understand us. Most of them, a good chunk of them, haven't even met a black person in their lives. A HuffPost article said 40% of white people don't have any black friends. You know, so you're going through this. These people making decisions about what black kids are going to experience and learn and be educated on and what their worldview is going to be, these decisions are being made by people that aren't even black and don't have any association, affiliation, or any other real relationship with black people. And we just send our kids out to be educated by these people, and then we don't even talk to the kids when they come home. You know,
well,
I understand,
I mean,
that people are tired, they're working, they got a lot going on. I'm not beating up on nobody about that. But we do got to get serious about the situation.
Well, I mean, our kids are not safe, like I stated earlier. Our kids are not safe. Our women are telling us that they're not safe, and we see our kids are not safe. We have to do something different. We have to have a different approach on how we exist as human beings in this country. Because, I mean, as you were talking, I'm sitting here thinking, and as I'm saying we have to do something different, I'm also thinking about the realities, because you can say, people need to stop having so many children. Well, why are people having children? Because people are having sex. Well, why aren't people having unprotected sex? Because unprotected sex is a coping mechanism. But what is unprotected sex a coping mechanism for? For the rigmarole of life. Now you can break that down high any way you want to. So you can get all high and mighty and say what people need to start doing, but you really got to look at these people's lives. A lot of people, sex is the same way. Like you may not have as many kids, but you may go home and drink your drink and smoke your blunt, smoke your cigarette, smoke your cigar, your hookah. Whatever you do, sex is the same thing. So, I mean, this is a complex situation that we as a community have to attack. And we got to get past this fucking I'm just do me thing, because we can see the effects in our community. Look at this. Our children and our women aren't safe. And we know we ain't safe either as black men. We know we ain't safe. But it's even worse when we can read about on the news our children and our women not being safe on a regular basis.
Right. Definitely.
So we're going to keep y'all up whatever new stuff we learn about this, we'll keep y'all updated on that. But all I know is some furniture need to start moving on this thing right now.
Yeah. Most definitely.
All right. Talk about ass whoopings. Nathan Sutherland. He needs his ass whooped. He's the nurse who's accused of impregnating a woman in a vegetative state who later gave birth. And when you hear that, you're like, what the hell did you just say? Yes, I did just say a man sexually assaulted a woman who was in the hospital in a vegetative state, got her pregnant, and she gave birth. So let's read some of this. A 36-year-old nurse has been arrested on suspicion of impregnating a woman in a vegetative state who unexpectedly gave birth last month at a Phoenix healthcare facility, police said on Wednesday. Nathan Sutherland, a licensed practical nurse who was caring for the woman at the Hacienda healthcare facility, has been charged with one count of sexual assault and one count of vulnerable adult abuse, according to court documents from Maricopa County Superior Court. A court order compelled Sutherland to provide a DNA sample to investigators on Tuesday, and a crime lab technician determined his DNA matched the baby. Phoenix Police Sergeant Tommy Thompson said Sutherland was arrested on Tuesday. A judge set a cash bond at $500,000 and scheduled Sutherland's next court appearance for January 30th. The nurse is being held in the Maricopa County Jail. Sutherland has invoked his Fifth Amendment rights and has not participated in an interview with police. The arrest is the latest chapter in a weeks-long investigation that started with the 29-year-old woman who was not able to give consent and has been at the facility since 2002, gave birth in late December. Investigators are trying to determine whether he assaulted anyone else or whether this woman was assaulted more than once, Thompson said. We owe the arrest to the victim. We owe this arrest to the newest member of our community, the innocent baby. That's what the police chief said. The woman's family is aware of Sutherland's arrest, but declines to comment further, said their attorney, John Michaels. Hacienda Healthcare said, every member of this company is troubled beyond words to think that a nurse could be capable of seriously harming a patient. So, the fuck, man? The fuck? Now, so now this is saying this headline and within the article is saying we had no idea she was pregnant. So caretakers of the woman were surprised by the December 29th birth. With one telling a 911 dispatcher, we had no idea she was pregnant. The woman is a member of the San Carlos Apache tribe and has long been in a vegetative state, the tribe's chairman has said. The baby, as I'm told, is doing quite well, Thompson said, without elaborating on who is taking care of the infant. Police began investigating the case as a sexual assault because the woman cannot give consent. Hacienda was ordered to hire a third-party manager to oversee several of its facilities. Investigators obtained search warrants for records that helped them identify people who have access to the woman, as well as court orders to get DNA evidence from men working at the facility. Detectives learned that Sutherland was among those responsible for caring for the woman during the time this sexual assault occurred. I'm trying to find out, because talking to somebody earlier this week, I'm trying to find this part in this article. They were saying that she had a growth or like a tumor or something in her around her abdomen area. So that's why nobody knew she had, she was pregnant. So I'm trying to find that part in this article to kind of confirm that, because it said, how did we know? I mean, it said we had no idea she was pregnant, but they ain't going into that. But when you hear something about that, like, what's your first thought? Like, I know you heard about the story early in the week. What was your first thoughts when you heard it?
I mean, honestly, I was shocked.
Especially with him being black.
Yeah, I was shocked. I was surprised. Then I was curious about how he could do it, why he would do it, how he could pull it off. You know, the baby growing for 9 months. How would that go? Unknown. You know, we know now. What was going on? Like, you know, I just had a bunch of questions. But initially, I was more shocked than surprised, you know, that somebody would, like, you have to be in a pretty bad space to rape a woman that's in a vegetative state. Like, you just have to be in a really, really bad space in your life where that becomes a good idea for you.
It reminded me of the beginning of that first Kill Bill.
Right.
That's what I immediately thought about. I was like, damn, so people out here really Kill Billing people?
And like, the question for me was, like, is that something he got from Kill Bill? Like,
right. That question also came through my mind as well.
I mean, I guess it was, I'm sure it was happening before Kill Bill. But
right.
it's one of them things where it's like, it's one of them things, like, for me, you just don't think about the fact that nurses might be sexually assaulting or raping COVID victims.
Well, it's like this, and I was given this thought from the perspective of a nurse, because when I was learning more about this story, I was actually out doing my rounds in the community with FAMU and FSU nursing students. Like, they, when they do that the community part of their rotations and things, they were my organization and with me specifically, and so they were telling me, you know. Especially FAMU nurses, they were talking about how the nurses want to make sure that people can trust them. It's a level of trust that the nurses are always working to build and maintain with the clients that they're working with on, or the patients that they're working with on a regular basis. And things like this hurt, especially black male nurses. It hurts the credibility and the comfort of comfortability and the level of genuineness that black nurses can bring to the, or not just they can bring, or they do bring to the field of nursing. Like, it kind of dampens that because we know how stereotypes work, and this is a fresh wound.
Yeah, especially considering, you know, black people already have to pay a trust tax when they get in positions that require trust. You know, your lawyers, doctors, nurses, dentists, basically anything where people have to have a level of trust and you're involved with them in an intimate way. And so it's something that is not needed in the community. And, you know, I know a lot of black people would take offense to that, but look, I mean, the truth is the truth. Look, when you're a minority group, and I know a lot of people don't like to use that word minority, but I'm speaking purely numerically. When you're a smaller group and you're in a smaller culture segment of a larger society, and black America is a larger or a smaller segment of American society, you don't get the same benefits and privileges that the dominant group gets. You don't get people to individualize what you've done. No, when you do something as a part of a minority group, the largest society, they broad brush what you've just done to the entire community. So yes, it may be stressful and it may be unfair, but that's the way culture groups work. That's the way group dynamics work. That's the way the world works. You are a representative of black people for everybody that's never met one, everybody that's never seen one or been a friend to one or worked with one. You are a representative, just the same as a white person that comes into the hood. They're a representative of white people for everybody in the hood. So that's the dynamics we're working with. And I think that's something that is a waste of energy to rail against. I think, you know, we it's another reason why we need our safe spaces, our spaces where we could come and just chill and be who we are. But this story is sick, man. It's
ridiculous, but it's because I don't want to just blame it on us being fully integrated or fully acculturated into white culture. I don't want to just blame it on that, even though that has something to do with it, because personal responsibility has something to do with this as well. But it also says something to adopting other people's cultures as well. That's not excusing personal responsibility, though, because Nathan Sutherland need his ass whooped. Like we need to fuck him up. For real.
You're right, though. It does speak to the culture of the hospital that he was working at.
Like the larger culture, because the hospital culture is the microcosm of the larger culture.
Right. It speaks to all of those things. And you're right, personal responsibility but look, there are two sides to this coin. On one side, you do have personal responsibility, but on the other side, you have social responsibility. And right now in America, that social piece is broken. So the larger segments, like you're talking about, they're missing. They're not in place to influence, guide, or shape, or correct any sort of negative personal decisions that a person might make. So, you know, I think it's appropriate that you bring up the duality of what's going on, because we got to talk about both.
But it's a reality, though. The duality is a reality. It's real. And we keep saying it. You might not agree, because there's a lot of people who hear this and don't agree that we keep bringing in the aspect of white supremacy, but I would argue with them on their level of understanding about what white supremacy truly is and how it truly affects people. Like, white supremacy is more than just, I don't like you Negroes. White supremacy don't have nothing to do with like. But I would charge people to go study and understand that, and also look how white supremacy truly helped found this country. And then look at the different aspects of it. One of the side effects of white supremacy is sexual violence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at everywhere it has gone. Like, I was looking at a documentary on Netflix the other day. Something about sex and family and stuff like that. But they was talking, a white lady going around different parts of the country or the world and learning about women and sexuality and things. And like New Delhi or Delhi and New Delhi in India, you know, we talked about it on here. Delhi is the most dangerous city in the world for women. Like, women get no respect there. Women get beaten, raped for nothing there. But they also talk about the European colonialism of India as well. That plays a part into it. So once again, it's not to discount personal responsibility, but it is to highlight what happens when you adopt other people's cultures. But Nathan Sutherland needs his motherfucking ass whooped for this. And he needs to be psychic, like, he still needs a mental evaluation, all these things, because I don't like sexual predators to be just locked up for a certain amount of time and then no real rehabilitation and you let them back out. That doesn't help.
I'm with
you. I don't know, man. It says it's. I want to touch on this because it's sad, man. It's. I want people to start look closer at culture, man. How can we better affect the culture? How can we better make better strides to change the culture, at least our culture for ourselves within our community, so we don't continue to make sexual predators that come out of the black community. We need to really look at that from a holistic standpoint and stop with the bullshit, get off of the selfish things, and just thinking about your family, your community. Some people ain't even thinking about that. So we just need a true paradigm shift. Yeah, appreciate you letting me get on my soapbox, Pat.
Nah, man, do your thing, man. You know I get on my soapbox often enough.
Yeah, man. So, Nathan Sutherland, if we see you, that's your ass. All right, so Kamala Harris, Pat.
What up?
Can you enlighten us on who Kamala Harris is? Kind of give us some of the pros and cons of her as a person who had the power to affect others politically in other spaces.
So Kamala Harris is 54 years old. She is the daughter of a Jamaican father and a Indian, and when I say Indian, I mean Indian from India, not Native American, mother. She graduated from Howard University, so if you are an HBCU lover, stuff to love there.
She AKA too?
I don't really give a damn about
Ski Week
fraternities and sororities, so... I don't really give a damn. But if you do, whatever. That's more for you to like. And she's married to a white dude. I gotta say that. I know a lot of people are like, well, what does it matter who she's married to? That's a conversation for another day. But she's married to a white dude. Her sister, however, is married to a black dude. She has one younger sister.
Black
Name is I think her name is Maya Harris, I believe it is. Anyways, she's I think she's like 51 or something like that right now. But and her sister's a lawyer too. So then we get on to her political situation. So Kamala Harris was a prosecutor. She spent time as a district attorney for the city of San Francisco. And then she spent time as the district attorney for the state of California before running for office and becoming a senator. I believe that was in 20. Hold on, let me pull it up. That was in 20. 2017. Oh, that was last year. Or 2 years ago.
Yeah, 17.
So I just wanted to make sure. I had an idea, but I wanted to make sure that I got the date right. So anyways, basically she's been in office for 2 years as a senator. And her entire time in office, she's been super progressive, standing with Democrats on almost every, well, not almost, standing with Democrats on virtually every single issue brought to the table. Now, the issue for me with Kamala Harris, and this is where it's based on facts, but it is my personal opinion, and if you want to know about her, you should definitely go and look up her record. Her entire Senate spill, if you look at her voting record as a senator since 2017, it's all been build up to this election, build up to her presidential bid. So with that being said, a lot of that, you, in my opinion, you kind of have to throw out. You go back and you look at what she was doing in the Justice Department when she was the head of the Justice Department, both for the city of San Francisco and for the state of California, and you run into some disturbing things. On the one hand, well, we're just going to run through a few of them real quick. So in 2012, she didn't give her opinion on two things. One, she didn't give her opinion on what was it called? Preposition 36, which would have changed the three strikes law in California. The second thing that she didn't give her opinion on in 2014 was Preposition 47, which would have changed some nonviolent offenders, changed some nonviolent crimes from felonies to misdemeanors. Uh-huh. Now, she received some blowback in California for basically copping out, is what a lot of people called it, because there's no reason why she couldn't give her opinion and couldn't push either way or the other. The reason that she gave was because it would be unethical, because her office prepares the ballots, which is a bullshit explanation. That's a weak-ass excuse. Just a weak. That has nothing to do with nothing. You're a public official. People have elected you because they agree with what you, they believe they agree with what your stances are on political issues. This is a political issue, and you almost have a mandate to let people know where you stand on political issues. So that was a bullshit excuse, and to me, it almost seems as if she didn't want to stand up for them because she agreed with them. So there's that. Then you had the situation where she campaigned as the state attorney as somebody that was going to be anti-death penalty. But then when the death penalty was found unconstitutional, she led an appeal that reversed the decision.
To make the death penalty legal, or by something that they use from something that they don't use.
So it was weird, because it's like, wait, but I thought you opposed the death penalty. Then why are you defending it? So you go back to, go ahead.
So do you believe that Kamala Harris is pulling one of the moves that Democrats pull when they want to get attention and make a power move? Is they act Republican? Do you believe that these are things that she does? That she's a Democrat who ain't afraid to do some Republican shit?
Well, let me say this. Because I think the recent crop of Democrats have been that way. I think the Democrats and the Republicans have always had similar end goals. They've just had different ways of going about it. She is constrained, I think, by the fact that she's black, and she wants to maintain, well, she calls herself a woman of color, so I don't want to call her black if she don't call herself black. But in any case, she's not afraid to be Republican when she has power. Right now, she is trying to get more power, so she's going to play the Democratic game, and I think that's what she's, that's what she does. And for me, it's just another example for why you can't listen to people when they're on the campaign trail. You look at their record and you see what they've done.
Right.
Because she
had
all kinds of stuff on the campaign trail running for district attorney, and then when she got in office, things changed.
So, go
ahead.
All right, well, as of right now, just looking at her record, if elections were tomorrow, just based off of her record and your perception of how, just the way you vote and the way you, just for you personally, and this is not to sway anybody else, do you think she's a viable candidate, somebody that you would give her vote to if elections were today?
No, and I'll tell you why. There are two reasons why, two big reasons why, really. And I will say this. Any black person or any person of color, I would give you consideration. And I've been saying this a lot lately. Your skin color, for me, and I'm being completely honest, it gets you consideration. It doesn't get you action. You got to earn action. Now, white people, again, being openly honest, white people, you got to earn consideration, and then you got to do even more to earn action. Black people, you just got to earn action. So I say all that, you know, I did consider her, but no. One of the primary reasons is in California, in 2011, California's prisons were considered so overcrowded that they inflicted cruel and unusual punishment. And federal courts demanded that the state of California reduce the amount of inmates in their prison. Kamala Harris fought federal court supervision, you know, by saying, well, not her specifically, but her office, and she was a part of the decisions, even though she later backed out. And we know why she backed out. But the argument they made to fight it was in saying that if they were forced to release inmates early, prisons would lose an important source of labor.
So she worked to help the prisons maintain the population.
Right. That's one issue.
And most of this population was black people, correct?
Right. Because this is a state prison. And so that's one issue. The next biggest issue, and there are a multitude of issues we could go over from her protecting during the financial crash of 2008, 2009, when the home loan thing blew up, the lending things blew up with home buyers, and she decided that she wouldn't prosecute a high-level banking official who later donated $2,000 to her campaign. You know, you got issues galore with her, but the next biggest issue I have with her is the informant scandal in Orange County, where the sheriff's office and other local police officers were destroying exculpatory evidence, and exculpatory evidence is evidence that would exonerate somebody, that would basically clear you of any guilt. They were destroying evidence. They were manipulating testimony. They were coercing people, and they were outright lying and committing perjury on the stand, all to gain convictions for the prosecution's office. She was the state attorney general at the time, the top cop, the head of the state's justice system, judicial system, and she did absolutely nothing. Even after it came out, she did nothing. She launched an investigation that is ongoing, has been ongoing for the last 1,500 days and hasn't resulted in anything. She has done absolutely nothing. Those two things combined, I cannot in good conscience vote for this woman. Even if you add in the fact that, you know, because there was a kid, a gang member, that killed the cop. I don't know all the details of why he killed the cop, but I do know that she lost a lot of support from law enforcement because she refused to try to care for the death penalty. And what she did after she got elected was she went on a statewide tour visiting law enforcement officers and organizations all over the state, all to regain their support. Haven't seen her do anything like that for black people or for the black people that she abused or fucked over at during her time as attorney general. So, no, I would not. If elections were held right now, I wouldn't vote for her. Knowing everything I know about her, her spotty past, her wishy-washy ways, and her overall negative effect, in my opinion, on the black community, if I was LGBT, that would add another wrinkle to it because she has been very hard for them. But
yes,
in terms of me as a black person, especially as a black person with issues with the judicial system, hell no, I wouldn't vote for her. And I don't think there's anything she could say on the campaign trail that would get me to vote for her.
Well, I mean, and one, like I said, one of the reasons why I wanted to do this because she's a new candidate. Don't really know too much about her, trying to learn more about her. So it's going to force me to learn more about her. But I've been seeing black people saying a lot of things that you were saying because the same excitement that other candidates may have had, black candidates, or especially like Hillary Clinton, when people are like, oh, okay, this person is running. It wasn't the same with her. It was like, all right, we see you running, but yeah. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, okay, so what's up with this? What's up with her? And I know we've had conversations about her, some of the things that she did, some of the decisions she's made, policies and all those things there. But it's like, once again, you know, make sure we're vetting people, but trying to get a little more information on her because it wasn't the same feel. It wasn't the same, hey, well, let's get behind sis. Let's do this and do that. It was like, we're going to wait. We're going to wait on you. We ain't going to get as excited on you right now. I was like, well, what the hell is up with this? Let me find out more information. That's why I knew you were up on her. So, all right, Pat, what's up with her?
Yeah, there are, and it's not to say she's all bad. She did do some good during her time as the state's attorney general during her time as the city's attorney general. She's done some good, but if we were all pissed at Jeff Sessions and worried about Jeff Sessions, there's been a lot of comparisons made between her time as attorney general and Jeff Sessions' time as attorney general. And although some of those comparisons are stretches, there's a lot of validity to a lot of those comparisons. And anybody like that, you know, and again, be wary of what she says on the campaign. And this is for any candidate. I love the fact that black people seem to be, in a lot of cases, a bit more patient this go around. Because we could use a lot more patience, especially when it comes to politics. Ignore the rhetoric. Because a lot of the times we got caught up in the rhetoric of watching her question Brett Kavanaugh and watching her really question the appointments and the nominations that Donald Trump has made for various cabinet positions and judge positions. But when you really listen to what she's saying and get out of your feelings and your emotions about it, she really ain't saying much. It's designed to create a reaction. She's a politician and she's very, very good. She's very, very intelligent. But one thing she can't lie about is her record. And I don't give a damn how many black organizations stand behind her. I don't give a damn how many people she get to blah, 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 and whoop and holler and get all crazed about her. I don't think she would be good for black America. I don't think she'd be good for black men, women, or children. And so I can't vote for her. I don't think she would be the best candidate for us. I don't even care if she is the best candidate out of all of those running. I still don't see her as a good candidate for black people. I just don't.
Well, I mean, but like I said, as long as if you're basing it off of her record, that's fine with me. Because I hate to see people just, well, I don't like them just because. That's crazy.
No. Yeah, it's totally on her record. I honestly think she's a likable person. Like, as a person, as a human being, I don't have any ill will or malice towards her. Like, we could probably be friends. You know, we could talk and have conversations. You know, I would come to her birthday party or whatever the case might be. Like, you know, like, as a person, I'm cool with Kamala Harris. I don't have no issues with her as a person. But when you're talking about voting for her to be my elected representative, I can't do it. And I got a lot of friends in that category. She's not a friend. I don't know her personally. I'm just saying all that to say I don't have any personal issues with her whatsoever. I don't dislike her whatsoever. And the bad vibes I get, the bad vibe I have towards her is based on her political record. It's not based on anything she's personally said or done, or I don't get the vibe that like she's an evil human being or nothing like that. I think she honestly thinks she's doing what's best. She honestly feels like she's going to change the system from within. And I think she honestly felt like at times she had to do things that she didn't like or didn't agree with because she had to do her job. But at the same time, I got to consider all of that when I consider giving you my vote, because you might be forced into a position as the president of the United States where you are conflicted in terms of your duty and your morality. And I need to know that, you know, that I can agree with you on both issues. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No, I mean, like I said, that's sound, though. That's sound. I can accept that versus someone just telling me that they don't like somebody based off their feeling or how, you know, emotions and things like that. Like, study someone. But now that we know this about her now, she has a year and some change to either confirm that. Well, her record's not going to change. Her record's not going to change, though. The record is confirmed. So she's going to have a year and some change to make people either not like her even more or make people like her. But the information is out there. So, well, let me ask this. My bad not to cut you off. What's the best place, what's the best website and things that people can go and find more information about her record that you've come across?
The best way to find information about her record as an attorney general, and that's poor planning by me. But I don't have the websites up right now, but Ballotopedia is a good place to go to find information about her record as a senator, as well as some information. You can look up snippets and bits and pieces about her information, about her record as an attorney general. That's ballotopedia.com. It's ballot, B-A-L-L-E-T, Opedia, like Wikipedia.com. Or it's Ballotpedia. I'm sorry, not Ballotopedia. So again, that's Ballotpedia, ballotpedia.com. And you can find some information about her there. But a good chunk of it is just going to be reading snippets. Like for me, I like to read source information. So you can always Google some of the things you see and bring up an article or two. But I like to go and read what the actual laws have said, and to do that, there are a number of different websites you can go to, from the state of California Congress's website to Congress's website, the federal Congress's website. Number of different places you can go to read the stuff, literally what they said. And then, you know, you take a trip to YouTube and listen to her speeches. Listen to what she's saying in her speeches when she was district attorney. Go to news websites and look at footage and listen to what she's saying directly. Read the things that she writes and the letters and things that get out that were produced by her. Read all that stuff directly and make up your own mind. For those of you that don't want to do stuff like that and just get secondhand information, just go to Ballotpedia, type in her name, look at the ratings that she's been given from various organizations and whatnot, and then click on why they gave her those ratings. And read through that way, secondhand information. You'll still be more informed than if you didn't do anything at all. So, I would just, again, be wary of what she says on the campaign trail. Be wary of what all politicians say on the campaign trail. I give a damn if Michelle Obama or Barack Obama was running.
But be wary of
what people say.
Right. Well, that's one of the main things that I want people to get to, is to stop falling for the rhetoric. Like, they're supposed to tell you things to get you riled up, to get you to believe in them. But it's not about what they say, it's about what they do when it comes to your politicians. Like, you know what I'm saying? They're not motivational speakers. They are people who are working for you. They're working for us. So I don't give a damn none of your promises and all these things here. Like, don't try to make me feel good. Just tell me what you plan on doing and tell me how you plan on doing it. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen if you don't do it.
And she's already been touring the country and making her rounds. She was on Rachel Maddow's show. Rachel Maddow is a MSNBC. She's a very liberal political commentator, but she does do a pretty good job of breaking down political information in depth, long as you can recognize her liberal slant. But she's already been on making her rounds on the talk shows and the circuits, and she's not addressing any of these issues. She's actually holding up her record as a district attorney as a badge of honor, as something that people should look at and think more of her on. And to me, that says a lot about how she views her record and about who she's really going to work for. Because if you're an LGBT member, and a lot of the Democratic or the liberal agenda right now was based on befriending the LGBT movement, you have a lot of reasons to love her. I mean, she opposed Proposition 8. She opposed Proposition 22. One of those was a proposition that made same-sex marriages illegal. She opposed it. Another one was the other one was a preposition that it had something else to do with same-sex marriage.
I had to think for a minute because you was like, did you say Preposition 8 or Preposition H?
Preposition 8.
Okay, because at first it sounded like you said she opposed preparation. Preposition H.
Nah,
then I thought about Preparation H.
That makes you got a boo-boo or something.
Nah, that's the hemorrhoid cream. But I was like, I had to think for a minute. I was like, why the hell is she opposed to hemorrhoid cream?
Nah.
Oh, he said preposition. Okay,
nah,
Joseph, get your mind right.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're, and she has a very strong pro-LGBT record. Very strong as a district attorney. But her record
of
supporting black people is very, very rocky. Extremely rocky. And so, you know, I don't think she believes she's going to face any backlash for her activity. Not from Democrats. Now, when she gets to the Republican side, they're going to challenge her on being weak on crime in terms of her being opposed to the death penalty and stuff like that, especially with not trying the gang member that shot the cop.
They're gonna come after her for that.
But in terms of Democrats, in terms of black people, I don't think she feels challenged. Matter of fact, on Rachel Maddow's show, I was listening to it. She said, "We need to be tough. We need to be firm. We need to go as far as we can to seek justice and do the right thing for the American people." But then looking at your time as a district attorney, you were not tough, you were not courageous, and you did not go as far as you could to seek justice for black people when we're talking about the death penalty, whether we're talking about the state prisons being overcrowded, whether we're talking about scandals happening in cities where people are being imprisoned or coerced or are just facing an overall corrupt system from the top down. You know, where were all of these stances then? Of talking about being courageous and doing what's right for the people and following the law. When we're talking about fighting financial crimes, she did prosecute a lot of financial crimes. But she also refused to prosecute Mnuchin. And that was the guy who in 2016, he donated $2,000 to her campaign.
Okay. Okay.
Steve Mnuchin.
Who was Mnuchin?
He was part of the one bank thing going on during the whole home loan thing that I was talking about earlier. They were charged with, without getting too far into the details, they were facing concerns with widespread misconduct and other things of that nature, saying that they weren't doing what was right by the people that had accounts with them or by people that were opening accounts with them, home loan accounts and things of that nature. She refused to prosecute, and she said that, you know, she was following the facts and the evidence like any other case. Now, all of that would be fine and dandy until you run into the part where he donated $2,000 to her campaign. Now, you could look at that two ways. You could say, well, maybe he was honestly innocent. Or you could say maybe she came up, maybe there was some sort of deal made. But when you put that in context with everything else that she had done, it looks shaky. It's more things that look shaky. So, again, I'm not saying that the way I interpret these things is the only way to interpret them. She very well could explain all of these things away. I know she hasn't done it yet, and I know she doesn't think that she has to do it because she hasn't done it yet. So you read the information and you come up with your own decisions and you make up your own mind as to whether or not you're going to vote for her.
Right, right. So we're just trying to make sure we start the conversation. We ain't telling you who to vote for. That's your business. You vote for whoever is in the best interest of you and your community. It's not for us to say. But just make sure you're voting with some goddamn sense. That's all we want folks to do. Vote for sense. We ain't telling you who to vote for. Just vote for vote with sense. So, hey, man, that's how I go down, man. Freedom Train Network, you know how we do. Giving you the information the way you need it, the way we need to talk about it. And we just give it to you raw and real, and that's how we do it. So, yeah, Pat, when your book coming out? Because and I'm asking him that because also to make sure that he's still thinking about putting his book out, but also because we're putting together a tour. We're going to do an HBCU tour, so y'all stay tuned for that. But, yeah, Pat, tell us more about your book.
So, my book's still in editing. You pushed the date of your books back, so I pushed the date of my books back. And my timeline is closely following Joe's because he's ahead of me. So, you know, I know that sucks, but I am anticipating the books coming out in March. You know, I don't have a firm date set, but I'm anticipating the books coming out in March. We're both of them are getting edited. And these are fairly decent books right now. One of them measures about 50,000 words. The other one measures about 80,000 words. So these aren't small books. And in addition to that, we got the Pitt web design. So I've been working on a number of smaller projects outside of the updated On the Shoulders of the Giants website, which is not a small project. My man has generated a whole lot of content over the last 4 years. And if I ever was questioning exactly how much content he had generated, firmly able to tell you it is a shitload of content.
And knowing it's half the battle.
So, you know, we've been working on that. Pitt Web Design is going to be coming out. By the time this show drops, we'll be in the middle. Damn, I just fucked that up. But anyways, we're in the middle of our advertising, getting ready for our launch. So definitely go ahead if you see the links, and if you don't, go ahead and go to www.pittwebdesign.com. And send us a ticket. Let us know what you're thinking. If you need a website, you can't beat our rates. You can't beat our service. You can't really beat anything about what we got going on unless you're building websites yourself and you're building it for yourself. Other than that, you can't beat what we got going on. So go ahead and come check us out. So we got the website. We got the books. We got the podcast. Those are still popping. You know, we got a lot
as
going
you,
on.
As you hear.
You know.
Yeah, man. Hey, I just sent the main script back to my editor for the final stages of editing for On the Shoulders of Giants Volume 3, South America. The original date was February 16th. I'm pushing it back. I'm hoping for at least where we at? Let me look at this calendar. At least like the 28th at the latest, hopefully, because I want to get it out in Black History Month, but I want to measure as many times before I cut, because what I learned from my first book is get everything right in the beginning. Hell, if I miss Black History Month to get it right, I'm going to miss Black History Month to get it right, but I would like to get it out at least by the 28th. So I'm glad that we're still in January right now, so I still have like a full month for all that to happen. And I'm a little more ahead of schedule than I expected to be at this point as far as editing and everything, because, my editor was on point. So that's happening, so that's going to be coming very, very, very soon, so I have more of a definite date for that. The relaunch of OnTheShoulders1.com as well as OnTheShoulders.org is coming soon. As you heard Pat talking, PIT web design team is almost done putting that website together, so that's going to happen. Of course, JosephAward.com is happening. That's coming up soon. I'm going to be dropping my online African history courses on JosephAward.com, so that's going to be coming soon, along with other online courses, as well as all of my section domestic violence prevention information, my HIV AIDS prevention information, STD prevention information, as well as life skills information. And I'm going to start writing a play. I mean, writing a movie script. So I just tell you that so far. I'm going to start writing a movie script on something that I need to write a movie script about. So I've been consulting people on the back end and doing things like that, as well as just in my community on a regular basis, linking up with different people and working to build and help and make my community better. So I'm the spook that sat by the door, just the infiltration.
I'm happy your book is on schedule, because my book is still behind schedule like a book.
And got to get this thing out, because if I have to get this book out so I can get these online courses done, which I'm halfway done with that, but also start on this movie script. So
yeah,
start on volume 4. Oh, I was gonna say, and then if. Depending on how things line up, I might drop Volume 4 by the end of the year. So,
well, I got 3 or 4 other books that I was looking at dropping by December, but we're going to see how things roll out with these two, because we'll just see how things go. I'm trying to, because, like I said, look, man, I was motivated by Dr. Ben when I found out that he wrote, edited, and illustrated his own books. And I was like, you know what? Why am I beating myself against the wall trying to find an editor that I agree with, that I like, and that I can afford when I can edit my own book like Dr. Ben did? So, unfortunately, though, that creates even more work. But we're going to get it done. I'm anticipating at the very latest it dropping the second week in March, at the very latest. Black History Month ain't a big deal for me. I'm not tripping on that. I understand with you and your books, though. I get the concept. Definitely.
Yeah. And get these online courses out in February. So, but, you know, not rushing anything, but just anticipated dates. But, man, it's just also, man, I love to see people winning, man. Like I was scrolling through Instagram earlier, and she's like 20, 21, maybe like 22 now. This young chick, she just opened up her boutique here in Tallahassee. Aaliyah Vanity is her Instagram handle. I met her at a Working Class Wednesday some time ago, and kind of been paying attention to her on Instagram and different things that she's been doing. So kind of give her. Shout out to her. Aaliyah's a name. Looking for her Instagram handle so y'all can go show her some love.
And she is more
just like
than
to
woman.
See. Huh?
She's more than a woman.
There you go. Her Instagram handle is Aaliyah.Vanity, AALIYAH.VANITY. Aaliyah Vanity, and she just opened up her boutique or whatever, so that, I thought that was pretty damn cool, man. But also just kind of, you know, remind you, man, keep pushing, keep rolling, keep doing whatever you trying to do. Like, don't give up, keep going, keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing, because it's going to happen. It may not happen when everybody else's things is happening, when you want it to happen, but just keep doing you, man, and you'll get the way you need to get. Just get surrounded by the right people. Keep your head up, and you'll be live. So remember that.
Not more than a woman, it's more than a lover.
Ah, man. All right. Hey, man. I thought we had a Bruce Lee quote to end it with, but never mind. What you want to say? Huh?
I said, be the water.
Yeah, be the water. Flow like the water. So, what's your parting shot, man?
Bow to the people.
My parting shot is, wash your hands. It's flu season, so. We'll holler at y'all, man. Y'all be cool.